Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Jumping Monkeys would like to thank CashFly for the bandwidth for this podcast. CACHEFLY.com. CashFly. This is Jumping Monkeys with Megan Maroney and Leo Laporte. Episode 19 for October 13th, 2007. Pick, pack, go. Jumping Monkeys is proudly brought to you by Audible.com for your free audiobook. Some great kids' books, too. Visit audible.com/monkeys. It's time for Jumping Monkeys number 19. And that's Megan Maroney on your left.
Yep, and Leo Laporte on your other left.
And we welcome you to a great show. We're going to have fun today with the links from Megan.
Mm-hmm.
And an interview with PickPack Go.
Yeah, it's a travel site. It's very Web 2.0. They're brand new. I'm really excited to talk to them.
Cool.
Yeah, help us find. Yeah, because I don't know, when you go on vacation, it's hard to stay in a hotel once you have kids.
It gets really hard. You kind of more would. It's expensive, too.
Right.
I mean, you'd like somewhere with a kitchen.
Yeah.
You can, you know, feed them breakfast and not have to worry about going out for every meal.
Right.
A lot of reasons.
Yeah. So I'm excited to talk to them to get some, you know, family-friendly vacation ideas.
Do you ever do a joint vacation with another family?
Yeah, we do. I like doing that. Yeah, we did that when we went to Montana. And actually, this is one of the reasons I wanted to have them on, because the place, the house that we stayed in was way nicer on the internet than when it was once we got there. And the other thing was, it was like in Montana, and it was billed as like out in the nowhere. You have your own, you know, and it was kind of out in the middle of nowhere, which a lot of places in, you know, Western Montana are.
Yeah.
But there was a driveway right next door. And so the people that lived in this house went to work on Monday morning. So meanwhile, we were on vacation, and then like these people drove, like four or five people drove by like Monday morning at 7 a.m. Yeah. Wake you up every morning, Tuesday morning. It was just that seemed, you know, in a remote
they
place.
Should mention
you
think, that.
Yeah. So I'm excited to find a place that you can, you know, do a little more research about where you're going to.
When Abby was about 9 months old, we went to Hawaii with another family with a 9 month old.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really fun. And you bond, of course, with
right.
that family. We knew them as friends, but we hadn't spent a lot of time with them. So you really get to know them.
Right.
Which could go either way, but we liked them.
Yeah.
And what's neat is now Abby's 15, and we just were at a bar mitzvah, their son's bar mitzvah, and their 15-year-old daughter, Violet, was there too. And to see them together, and I got some great pictures again, you know, 15 years later, almost 15 years later. And of course, they're still friends. It was really neat. It was it's kind of also scary because it didn't seem that long ago.
Right.
And all of a sudden, they're big girls.
You know?
And they grew up.
Yeah. So we're going to talk to them. We're going to get some links. We're going to play some music. We've started to play a little bit of music on
Good.
The show.
I
kids
like that.
Music. We had Bill Childs a few weeks ago. And
he inspired us.
Yeah. He does a kids music podcast. And we just discovered there's a lot of people out there with cool kids music of all kinds of different genres. So we're going to play a little bit of music.
Enzo Garcia.
Yeah, today we're going to play a track from Enzo Garcia's Field Trip with Enzo, and that's just out. And we're going to show the YouTube video of the week.
Oh, we got another one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm loving it.
And we're going to get some voicemail and some questions in voicemail, and hopefully we'll have answers
busy
too.
Show. We better get going.
So yeah, we start off with the Spend, Save, Give segment, and this is the spend. Every week we talk about one way to spend your money, one way to save your money, and one way to give back to the community and beyond. And we're going to start with spend. This was recommended by a listener, Diana. Have you heard of Flip Clips?
Well, you know, you can do this with iPhoto.
Really?
Yeah, and I don't know if they use Flip Clips or another company, but I love this idea.
So you take your digital video.
Oh, this turns video into it.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, you take your digital video, your 30-second you know, video that you've taken with your camera, and it turns into a little flip book, you know, those little books. So
Isn't that a great idea? Actually, I have seen these. We did them on the TV show. Yeah.
Yeah. On the
lab. They work really well.
So you've actually, this
I've
actual brand?
Them. Yeah. Well, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought this was really cool because a lot of times, you know, you have video, it's hard to really share that. But yeah, I thought this was a cool.
I think Amber got these for Call for Help at one point. And I wonder what happened to that book. Yeah. Flip Clips. Amber showed us.
So it was good quality, huh?
Yeah, it looks great.
And
now,
how much?
As usual with one of these things, you have to, you know, you take some practice to get the flipping going.
Right.
Right. But she took a video. I'm trying to think of what the video was she took. But she took a video that we had. And in fact, I said the same thing. You know, iPhoto does this too. And she had to say the same. But this is different. I'm a broken record. This is from video. So what iPhoto does is takes your still pictures and makes a little tiny photo book.
Mm-hmm.
This is a flip book that
right.
you make a movie
exactly.
where you flip it with it.
Yeah.
We used to do that in a school.
Yeah.
I'm reading now the transcript from the show. So this way I don't have to come up with a new comment. We draw little things in the school books.
Yeah.
Like little stick figures
mm-hmm.
and then animate them, usually
right.
doing rude things. And then you
yeah.
flip the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you think you're having deja vu from an episode of The Lab, you're not.
let's see. Okay. You can read Amber's line here. No, this is funny. This is a very cool, thing. And we did get one and I liked how it looked.
Yeah. I like this. Yeah.
Flip clips.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only what? $8.99?
I don't know.
It says on the site, it says $8.99.
Yeah.
I don't know. Starting at $8.99.
Yeah.
So I guess it depends on how long the
right.
movie is.
Yeah. If it's like, I wonder if you could like upload like The Godfather and get a flip book of The Godfather. Wouldn't that be awesome?
You'll come to me on my daughter's birthday. Go to the next book. It does movie, AVI, QuickTime movies, AVI, digital video, MPEG-4, MPEG-2, motion MPEG, and 3GPP, which is the cell phone video.
So thanks, Diana, for that.
Good.
Now we're moving on to the save segment, and this is a little special 10% off save just for Jumping Monkeys listeners. This is a new CD called Field Trip with Enzo, and the artist is Enzo Garcia, and he's a Bay Area kids artist, and I heard about him through Bill Childs, and it's great music. It's really sweet. My kids love it.
You want to play one?
I do, yeah. And Enzo said that we could play one of these
songs. Monkey Motions. Is that the one you wanted to do?
Yeah, I want to do Monkey Motions for obvious reasons.
Because it's got a monkey in it.
Yeah. And this is off Field Trip with Enzo.
And we'll tell you how you can save money on it
right
in a second.
After, yeah.
Here comes Enzo.
I make monkey motions to relieve. I make monkey motions to relieve. Act just like those monkeys act. I make monkey motions to loo. Motions to elude. And I make monkey motions to hello.
I like that. Monkey
yeah,
motions.
Me too.
That is Enzo Garcia.
Yep. Off Field Trip with Enzo. And if you want to get that CD, you can get it at the Pokey Pup, which is a online realtor.
They don't sell homes, though. They sell music. It's a different kind of realtor. A special kind of
online
retailer
of CDs.
Oh, okay.
It's at store.pokeypup.com.
Certainly is.
And that's Field Trip with Enzo. And to get 10% off, you just enter the coupon code Field Trip.
I like the style. It's kind of funky.
Yeah, folk.
Folky.
Yeah.
Anderson playing the cornet on that. I love that cornet making the elephant sounds.
Yeah, he also plays the jaw harp.
Enzo does?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Enzo plays a lot of instruments. Guitar, bass, banjo, accordion, jaw harp. Enzo-tar.
The Enzo-tar. I'm not sure what that is.
Percussion,
he's also a music teacher.
Oh, there you go.
A kid's music teacher.
Well, wouldn't you be lucky to have him for a music teacher?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And you might still be able to. I don't know if he still teaches, but you can learn more about Enzo at enzogarcia.com. That's enzogarcia.com.
Very nice.
So yeah, if you want to buy the CD, you get 10% off because you're a Jumping Monkeys listener, and the coupon code is Field Trip.
So that's our save.
Yeah.
We're saving you there.
And now we're going to the give section. And this is kiva.org. Now this site was on Oprah recently.
Yeah, so. You know, and a lot of people have given us a lot of credence, but it still makes me kind of feel a little odd.
Microlending?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. Does it seem like, I don't know, it just seems a little, so explain what it is.
Microlending is when you give a loan to usually a woman in, usually in Africa, or a place where she can, she starts a business with it. It's not really a large amount of money. She starts a business, and then the business, she earns enough money to pay back the loan to another woman or another business owner in the town to then start another business. So
small loans. They're hundreds of dollars.
Yeah. And you're not ever going to get the money back, but the money
stays. Oh, you don't. So it's really a donation.
It is a donation, but it's more than a donation because it goes, it just keeps on going.
Different. Because there are some sites where you basically are making money by lending. They act as a middleman for you to lend money, and these people pay you back and they pay you interest.
No,
this is a donation.
No, the money goes back into the community.
That's
so
fine.
This is microlending. This is the guy who started this idea actually won a Pulitzer Prize for it. And the school, which Marco, my husband, teaches at, and Abby, your daughter, goes to, they do a lot of microlending. They've actually gone to I can't remember exactly where they went to check out the places where they lent money to. I think it's fascinating because you're not just giving money that just disappears. And it's very different to give money. To give someone just a charity is very different than here's some money to start your own business, and you're expected to give this money to someone else.
It's a different idea.
So kiva.org just kind of makes it easier. And I've gotten a few different listeners have sent this link to me, and so I wanted to spread it.
As good as this is, there should be a little bit of skepticism, and you might do a little research on this. I'm looking at a report a couple of years ago, and it just depends on the microlender. I think Kiva is probably a different story, but
I think if they
Oxfam
were...
did a study of microlending,
And
it found that a lot of microlenders themselves are not monitoring what's being done with the money. And a lot of the money is not, in fact, being used to start businesses. So
my guess is if this were true of this, then you would have heard about it since Oprah.
Kiva's got a lot of high profile.
Yeah, been recommending it.
Well, I'm not sure. Just because Oprah recommends it doesn't necessarily mean...
No, it doesn't mean, but it means that people are doing more research on it. And if
paying
they
attention.
Weren't, I would guess that a lot of people would make it their business to figure out if it's up in the up and up so that they could call her on it if it weren't.
It's a neat idea.
I'm not saying everything that Oprah recommends is perfect and wonderful. I'm just saying that it's...
People pay attention.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of a different way to donate.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, if you think of it as a donation, that's fine. I mean, there are other companies, there are other websites that do this to where you make money.
No,
I don't like that.
No. Or if you expect to get the money back.
Right.
No, I mean, the reason you're giving money is because it's not just a one-time donation that you're giving. That,
now, do you choose the business or is it just kind of random?
Through Kiva.org?
Yeah.
You can. Yeah, you can do research.
Interesting.
Through, yeah.
Okay. So you can read about what people are doing, what the money is that they need. And this is kind of neat. I mean, and it is small amounts of money. I'm looking at some of the test cases. Here's a woman in Ecuador who wanted to open a school. She just needed $600.
Right.
And they have a picture of the school. And I mean, I think that's really great. That's really great. It's amazing, really. We're so affluent here.
Yeah.
And we have so much money. And it makes such a small amount can make such a big difference.
Yeah.
Good. Kiva.org.
Yeah. So now we're on to our Audible book pick of the week.
Now, is this going to be one that I'm going to listen to in the car? Or is this going to be one that Annabella is going to listen to?
It's going to be one that Annabella or kids in and around her age are going to listen to. Sorry, Liam.
I don't mind. I don't mind. I love that because we're recommending great kids' books. This is through audible.com, by the way, which is sponsoring the podcast and sponsors many of the podcasts on Twit. And is a really great company. I'm just a big fan of Audible and have been since the turn of the millennium.
Mm-hmm,
I realized I've been an Audible customer since the last century.
Really?
Yes. Since I think 1999 is when I started, maybe 98. I was used to listen on a Rio 500. I was talking about this with Dick DiBartolo on the Gizwiz, and I remembered it was the Rio 500. Mm. But now you can listen on a variety of devices. You can, of course, listen on your computer. You can burn CDs. There's a lot of ways to listen to these audiobooks from the best audiobook readers. I mean, you know, some of them are from the publishers, some of them for recorded books or Blackstone Audio, but they've really put them all together. And what I like about it, I used to get audiobooks by rental, and you'd get a cassette, and they'd mail it to you, and then you have a month, and you have to mail it back. Otherwise, you get late fees. Not with Audible.
Mm-hmm.
With Audible, you get the book right away because you're downloading it. The quality is great. It's just as good as this. It's full-quality MP3s, although they have lower quality. If you don't have a lot of bandwidth, you can get a lower-quality version. You listen to it and you own it now. You can listen to it and take as long as you want. You can listen to it again. You even have a library on audible.com where you can download books you've listened to before. My library has hundreds of great books in it now. And it's just so much fun. So if you've not joined Audible or found out about Audible, we've got a special deal for you. You can get a credit for a free book just by going to audible.com/monkeys. audible.com/monkeys. When you sign up there, you get a free book. You don't have to stick around if you don't like it or if that doesn't suit your interests or whatever. You no cost, no obligation to you. I think you're going to want to stick around, though. In fact, I got to warn you because I'm hooked on this now. Mm-hmm. I do 2 books a month. Easy. audible.com/monkeys. And not only do they have lots of adult books in all different categories, they have kids books, too. And that's what we're going to talk about right now.
Yeah, this is what we downloaded this about a week ago from Audible. It's Henry Huggins by Beverly Cleary. Did you read this?
Oh, I've read every Beverly Cleary book there is.
You must have read Henry Huggins because
I don't know
you're
about
Henry.
That one. I don't.
Really?
Beverly Cleary is great.
Well, this one is read by Neil Patrick Harris.
Oh, you're
Doogie
kidding.
Hauser.
Doogie. Oh,
yes. And he's an excellent reader. And, you know, this book for Annabella to actually for me to read it to her, she's probably a little bit too too young for that. So I was kind of surprised, but I love Beverly Cleary and I love
She's
this book.
Great.
And so I tried it and she is absorbed with it.
She loves it.
Yeah. It's 3 hours long. Which
it's a long book.
Yeah. But she's listened to it all maybe 5 or 6 times. She listens to it when she goes to bed.
I think you know what? You can give kids credit. I think they can listen to longer books. I really do. If it's well written and all of these Beverly Cleary books are well written. And she, by the way, there's a lot of them on here.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's Beezus and Ramona. I remember these books when I was little. I loved
Ramona,
these books.
I remember Ramona.
Ramona
yeah.
Quimby, age 8. And so, yeah, and she's just, it's amazing what she absorbs from this. You know, she'll just, you know, she came down the other day from up in a room and just said, "What does finders, keepers, losers, weepers mean?"
I love it. That's what you want, though. I mean,
yeah.
your child is is learning while exactly. she's listening.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like watching some silly TV show.
Right. And really I'm excited to then we're going to get this book and then read it too. And I think it'll just be easier. It's easy. Right. I think I've talked about this before. It's easy transition from the, you know, picture books to the more longer books.
The other thing, and I think this is really true, is that the mind is really wonderful at painting pictures. And it's a good thing to teach a kid at this age to listen mm-hmm. and imagine. You know, everything's spoon-fed to them with TV and mm-hmm. DVDs and movies. They don't have to imagine anything.
Right.
That's why reading is so great. And there's something about reading aloud, I think. It triggers something in the brain.
Right.
That's why everybody says you should read to your kids.
Yeah.
Same thing with listening to an audiobook. It's mm-hmm. the same exact experience. You imagine this. I mean, I know even as an adult, when I'm listening to a book, if I backtrack, I'll know exactly where I was. I could see the picture in my mind of what's in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I even think I've seen this book and as a movie, and I haven't.
Right.
But it was so visual when yeah. I was listening to it. And that's, I think, what's so great. I'm sure she's seeing Henry Huggins.
Right.
I mean, she can see it.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Great story.
Henry Huggins by Beverly Cleary. It's yeah. our Audible pick of the week. If you want to get this book or any Audible book free, just go to audible.com/monkeys. And we do thank Audible for their support. AUDIBLE.com.
So before we get to our interview a little later in the show, we're going to talk to Felix and Karen of a site called Pick, Pack, Go. But I have a few more links. You want to do some more links first?
You've got more links?
I've got
You're amazing.
More links. This is a little bit of a warning, a little story from the San Francisco Chronicle. Now, do you have Crocs, Leo?
Oh, I have a story. I have a story about Crocs.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Should I read my story first?
Read your story first, because I don't want you to stop telling your story
okay.
once I
well,
tell you my story.
I wanted to mention this, because Crocs are like a great shoe for kids. They're really easy to put on.
You could
on
put them in the washing machine, the dishwasher.
Yeah, I know.
What's his name? The chef, Battaglia, Mario Battaglia. Uh-huh. He wears Crocs. And then he puts them in the dishwasher. They come out nice and warm and clean.
Because
they're rubber, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, my kids all have Crocs because they're just really easy to put on. And they're,
yeah,
you know,
they're comfy.
They have tying and everything.
I actually don't wear Crocs.
Really? I wear no. Crocs. But there's a story in San Francisco Chronicle, and it says, Crocs, be careful on escalators. Apparently, there have been numerous accidents
really?
Kids have had with Crocs on escalators because they stick to the, you know,
ew.
So when you're getting
like
off.
How bad of an accident?
Really bad, like losing your toenail kind of bad.
Oh. Because so you get, what
like
happens?
Like as you're getting off the escalator, you know, there's such traction that they can't like step off. And so they like get it, their shoe kind of gets caught.
Oh,
or
that's
and
awful.
This was story really spoke to me because I have a very clear memory of being about 6 years old and wearing these big moon boots. You remember the big rubber moon boots?
Yeah.
I don't know, you know, probably
yeah.
1981, 82.
Yeah. And getting
stuck in an escalator. They got pinched on the side and like my leg got pulled. We were in a shopping mall.
That's
horrifying.
Like a nightmare.
Yeah. And you know, I was six. I don't have that many memories of that back then, but that one was one. So no, I just wanted to spread the word about that.
So if you type in Croc and escalator.
Well, because especially they're good for traveling because they can come easy off and on, you know, for kids. Easy, but
so,
be careful.
Here's my story about Crocs.
Okay, let's
Jennifer's
hear yours.
Stepsister invented them.
Oh, yeah, you told me that.
Yeah. And I don't have Croc stock, but
yeah.
a lot of the family does.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a neat story. I mean, they just made these up.
Yeah,
great. She designed them. They went to Asia somewhere and got them fabricated, and they took off.
And yet you don't have any?
I actually don't wear Crocs.
Do you not like them?
They're kind of ugly, aren't they?
Are you calling my shoes ugly?
Are you wearing them?
I'm not wearing them now, but I do wear them a lot in the wintertime.
They're fun. In the winter you wear them?
Yeah, they're, well, here in
oh, yeah.
California.
You don't wear them in the snow.
No, I would.
Really? But your
no.
toes would get cold.
No, but yeah, I like them, and I like them for my kids mostly.
They make small ones now.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
I know, like, every kid has Crocs.
According to the company, they're aware of very few problems related to Crocs and accidents.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, what is that?
Thankfully, a company spokesperson said escalator accidents like the one in Virginia are rare.
Oh, really? Is
However,
this a case of just...
in, well, I don't know. I should ask our cousin. I should ask Jennifer's sister. I don't know.
What the article says is they're like a report of maybe, you know, 10
just
ten
to be
accidents,
aware. But, you know,
all
sandals,
were wearing Crocs.
Sandals could be that. You could have that problem,
right.
too.
And maybe
soft moon boots.
Yeah. Maybe the problem isn't the croc. Like, if all the kids are wearing crocs anyway, it doesn't really necessarily have to do with the crocs.
You're learning about statistics now. Yeah, because everybody
just
is wearing crocs.
Just because A means B doesn't mean B means A. Or whatever that saying
thank
is.
Thank goodness we saved that croc stock.
Anyway, I...
No, I want to say right now, I don't have any croc stock.
But it's just fun to
Kim,
say croc
where's
stock.
My croc stock? So, no, but Kim invented it. It's really kind of a neat story.
Yeah.
She and her husband, who is a tech, former tech entrepreneur. He did some tech startups, and they took some of that money and put it into the croc business.
Interesting.
And now they're shoe entrepreneurs.
Excellent. Well, I'll put this link in the show notes so you can read for yourself. But
escalator accidents are very common. Escalators caused 10,000 injuries last year, according to the U.S. Product Safety Commission.
Yeah. Maybe you should just stay away from escalators. Take the stairs, people.
Isn't it, do kids get phobic about escalators?
My kids love escalators.
Yeah, mine do too.
Really, still?
Yeah, they'll just go, we'll go to the mall just to ride the escalator for a few hours.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Okay, are you ready for this? Next link comes from the New Yorker, newyorker.com. I found this pretty fascinating. The Blue Man Group opens a preschool in Manhattan.
What?
You're familiar with the Blue Man Group.
I love the Blue Man
Group. The people that dress in blue. And I can't help but think of Arrested Development. Did you watch Arrested Development?
I have been watching it, but I haven't got to the Blue Man part
of it. Okay, well then we'll just say no more about
that. No spoilers.
But, okay.
So they cut themselves in blue, and then they do kind of interesting music stuff.
Right, yeah.
And they never talk.
No.
So it's not going to be a great preschool, because, frankly, talking is important.
Is it? I don't know.
It's nice to be able to paint yourself blue and play drums, but talking is important.
Yeah, I just thought this was a bizarre little thing, you know.
So I don't understand.
It's just some guys that were in the Blue Man Group, and it's just, you know, it's like a very creative, you know, preschool, lots of movement and touching.
I think that's great. It's preschool.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I wasn't criticizing, and I thought it was funny.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
I thought it was worth mentioning to our Manhattan listeners.
They don't teach in blue.
And it does take 50 years in order to get your child into this preschool.
What?
Just kidding. That's what we've talked about before. How you have to be like...
My mom signed me up for this preschool, and guess what? I just got in.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't need to be in preschool, but I'm looking forward to the naps.
Yeah. Okay, so should we...
Sure. I'm up for anything. What do you want to
do? Okay, I want to do the... Before we give a call to Felix and Karen from Pick Pack Go and talk about their new travel website, I want to talk about our YouTube video of the week. I wish I remember where... Oh, I found this on Daddy Types, which is a, you know, dad blog. It's a link to Richard Pryor reading the alphabet on Sesame Street.
Oh, my goodness.
It just makes me laugh. I really liked Richard
Pryor. I loved him. What a great comic. What a funny guy. And... To be honest with you, not usually kid friendly.
No, not usually.
It's pretty profane.
This is kid friendly, and I've been using it to teach my boys the alphabet.
Everybody follow along here.
That's an A. And here's a B. And nobody care about no C. And ain't nobody interested in D. Right? Because E's got it all covered.
Yeah.
As we ship to the L. Hang up with the G.
Got to see his facial expressions.
Huh? Move down so to the funny. H. Jump to the I. Then the J. Then here come K. Walking into place along with L. You know what I mean? And M was cool. M said to N. O. P.
Showing great respect.
Q.
Yeah. I must say.
R. Now S comes stepping up, right? Huh. T was mean, no. He didn't take no U. Because B was W. X had it covered. Y was me. So that's the Z of the game.
Isn't he great? He has one. There's another one on here. Did you see that? Demonstrating emotions?
I did see that other one. That was pretty funny, too.
We were going to show you.
But you
can't. Happy,
no, it's not really as
scared.
Oh, because it's just pictures.
Going to help us, okay, Richard? All right.
He doesn't say anything, huh?
No.
Oh, but that looks like fun. He is, you know, we'll miss him. I've never laughed so hard in my life as seeing Richard Pryor in concert.
Yeah, he's pretty funny.
I mean, you just can't stop.
And that's my goal, to kind of have the boys be reciting the alphabet. No more like, next time won't you play with me? It's going to be X got it covered.
Yeah, X got it covered.
And then
man.
That's how they're going to get into preschool.
T was mean.
Yeah. I just want them to show up at the Blue Man Group school.
You are such a subversive. Don't teach the Shel Silverstein alphabet. Do you have that book? ABZs?
No.
They're all out of order.
But they should, yeah.
They're all out of order. It's very subversive. I just love it. Let me see if I can find this. You can buy it on Amazon and so forth. It's a satirical children's book.
But isn't it funny, though? Like, the ABCs, like, people, you know, a lot of parents, I've seen them so proud. Like, my kid can say the ABCs. Like, so what? You're not, like, it doesn't get you really any closer to reading. Or, I don't know what the point of the ABCs are.
You have to learn the ABCs, don't you?
Yeah, but it's just, I mean...
How are you going to get a job as a filing clerk?
I know, but, like, just singing the ABCs, just reciting them.
Oh, I know.
I know. It's like L-M-N-O-P is one letter to them, you know?
Right.
It's like, you're not... I mean, I want them to recognize letters... But just singing that song, it's no better than really singing Old MacDonald Had a Farm, you know?
You're right. Okay, that's interesting. I didn't know you had such a strong opinion
on
that.
I don't know. Someone who is an actual teacher or an expert in something like this, which I'm not, if, you know, you want to email me at megan@twit.tv and tell me I'm wrong, please do. Because, you know, sometimes I just spout things that may or may not be
and
true.
And if you don't care, get Uncle Shelby's ABZ book.
Yeah.
From Shel Silverstein. U is for Uncle Shelby. Then it has a check. Do you love your poor Uncle Shelby? Yes or no? Do you love your ABZ book? Yes, is a big box, knows a little books. Are you going to buy Uncle Shelby's next book? And if your mommy won't buy it for you, are you going to kick and scream and hold your breath until she says okay? Yes, maybe.
Uncle
now
Shelby,
you can have some candy.
Looks like the old man in the Giving Tree, which we talked about last week.
It's that good old Shel Silverstein. Yeah, He's a character.
Yep.
But see, I'm a little subversive.
Yeah?
Yeah. Did you ever hear of Pinocchio? Well, Pinocchio was a puppet who liked to tell lies. And every time he told a lie, his nose would grow longer and longer. Do you think that would happen to you? Tell a little lie and see what happens. Nothing happened? Did your nose get long? No? Isn't it fun not being a puppet? See, that's subversive.
That is subversive.
I love that.
So I think it's time, you know, to talk to Felix and Karen. After that, we're going to hear some more voicemails and some emails. But first, we're going to talk to Karen Landwehr and Felix Lynn. And they just started a new site called PickPackGo. And that's PickPackGo.com. And it's a site that helps you find vacation homes. So I thought it's very Web 2.0. So I thought we'd have them on and you know, ask them to tell us a little bit about the site. When did you start PickPackGo?
It was about a year ago.
And maybe you could explain a little bit about the site for us.
So when we started PickPackGo, it was extremely difficult for people to find, compare, and book properties online. And actually, this is not going to work for me.
You're hearing echo? Take that out. Let's do this. Okay, let's try this way.
So, does that work for you guys?
Yeah, you sound better now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just pick it up when we started.
So when we started about a year ago, it was really difficult for people to go online and find, compare, and book vacation rentals. Most of the sites that are online allow you to look through text-based listings, and once you find something that you like, you still couldn't go out and book the property very easily. You had to contact the owner, negotiate prices, rental contracts, and so on. And even then, after you found a property, some people found that it was very stressful to actually send money to somebody that they'd never met before, since these are private individuals that they're working with and not necessarily corporations like Marriott or Sheraton or Hyatt. So what we did was try to figure out how we could apply technology to really solve that problem. And what we came up with is PickPackGo.
It's neat. So it's very Web 2.0. You can search for locations, or I'm browsing right now, and it's kind of fun to browse because you've got nice pictures and lots of information about the place. It's kind of almost like, I'm fantasizing now where I might go, you know, Hidden Bay Haven in North Dakota. I'm there.
Yeah, absolutely. What we try to do is create a user experience which is very graphically image-oriented.
Yeah.
We know that when people are shopping for places, they're much more interested in looking at photos than they are reading through text.
Right.
And what we wanted to do is come up with a user experience where it was easy to look at various properties, put them side by side, plot them on a map, and then go from there.
Now, it's U.S. only, yes?
Today, we're focused primarily on the U.S. There's really nothing about the technology that means that limits it to the U.S., but that's our primary focus, as we're still in a beta period.
I love how it looks. I mean, it's really cool. How long has it been around?
We've been live for about a month or so.
Oh, it's brand new.
It's brand new.
Oh, how exciting. Wow. And how many listings? I mean, you mustn't, it's so early, you probably don't have a huge amount of listings yet.
You'd be surprised. We've got so far about 4,500 listings.
Wow.
And it's just been around for about a month or so, as I said. So we're acquiring inventory at a great clip. And since it's completely free for people to list their vacation properties online, we expect that we'll be able to attract properties very, very, very quickly.
Yeah, why wouldn't you? But then how do you charge the renter?
So for renters, it's completely free. You can use a site, browse, contact owners. You can even book properties directly online. We actually make our money by providing highly qualified inquiries to the owners and managers of these various properties.
So they don't pay you to list, but then you will give them leads?
That's right. It's a little bit complicated, but to simplify, what we actually do is allow property managers to come to us and tell us the periods of time when they're most interested in getting those leads, and they can tell us how much they value those leads. In other words, how much they would pay to get a qualified lead from somebody traveling during those times.
I see.
And when people actually say, "Hey, I'm interested in traveling, say over the Columbus Day weekend," we forward that lead and they pay us for that lead.
But now am I going to go on here and say I'm looking to go somewhere on a Columbus Day weekend and now I'm going to get a bunch of email from other people who wanted me to go to their place?
Absolutely not. It's completely private for renters. What actually happens is we tried to make our user interaction much like what you'd have when you go to Expedia or Travelocity or these other well-known websites, where you just simply tell us the dates of travel. And we use that information to limit the search results to just those properties that are actually available for your dates of travel.
That's nice.
It's a huge win because instead of looking through hundreds and hundreds of properties only to find out that hundreds and hundreds of properties are not actually available, you're only actually looking at the properties that are available for the dates of travel.
I can see that because I'm looking. Okay, so I'm looking at Casadero Heaven, which is a beautiful area near us. And look at this place. I mean, it looks gorgeous. But I can see right now that it's only available for, it's pretty popular. There's 5 nights in September and 5 nights in October, and the rest of it's booked. So that's good. It saves me from even looking at it if those are the nights I want to travel.
Absolutely. Now, a lot of people who come to our site, we notice, don't actually put in their dates of travel. And I think a lot of that has sort of been ingrained in them because most of the other sites that are out on the web don't actually allow you to look for vacation rentals based on their availability.
Right. Or I'm flexible. It may be that I don't care, although most people want to know a certain time, huh?
Yeah, that's true. On our site, actually putting the dates in provides a lot of value for you. Not only will we tell you only what's available and show those to you, but we'll actually be able to calculate very detailed rates for your actual stay.
Did you do the coding on this, Felix? Or
I didn't write a line of code, thank God.
It's very nicely done. It's very Ajax-y and... it's actually better than Expedia or Travelocity. I mean, it's the kind of place you kind of want to play with just because it's so well done. This is nice.
Oh, thanks very much.
Yeah.
I mean, that was one of the goals of the whole project.
I'm just giving it some dates. I'm picking a place.
Where are you going, Leah?
I don't know. I was thinking maybe Los Angeles or, I don't know, maybe Tahoe or, I don't, look, here's a beautiful place. This is a rental, it looks like. So do you also have some rentals?
So these are the vast majority of the properties here are vacation rental homes. So they're, single family homes in popular vacation geographies. We've got over 1,500 properties in Florida alone.
Wow.
So Central Florida, Orlando, if you're interested in Disney, we've got tons and tons of inventory there. But these are primarily single family homes. You'll see some condos and townhomes, for example, in Hawaii. Most of the properties that are for rent are actually condos on the beach. But the vast majority in the continental U.S. are single family homes.
Neat. I like
and,
it.
Yeah, you'll be amazed at the affordability and what you can actually get for your money when you're looking at vacation rentals.
This is neat. So did you write all the code, Karen?
Not a line from me either.
Not a line from you either? Oh, all right. What were you guys doing before this?
So before this, we had a couple of successful Silicon Valley startups. One of our companies was AvantGo, which became one of the leading providers of mobile internet software.
Oh, yeah. I use AvantGo.
20 million people use the software to get connected to the net from mobile phones and PDAs. We also had a business where we delivered anti-spam and email security software over the net to anybody with a computer. And that was where we really developed a lot of our knowledge and expertise about online marketing and online sales.
This is nice. This is really slick.
So what?
So a lot of us have worked together before, which is great.
Yeah.
So what made you decide to go this route to start this company?
Well, vacation rentals is a market that I think a lot of people don't really think about doing. But the last 5 or 10 years, folks have been going out and acquiring second homes. And now looking to figure out how they're going to make money on those homes or keep those homes. And so in all these vacation geographies, folks have these homes and are looking for, okay, well, I need some people to help me pay the mortgage this month because my family doesn't go up there every time now or doesn't spend, half the summer there, kind of idea. And so when we looked around, we saw that there was a very large market for doing this and that the players in the space are sort of in the old fashioned style. And we wanted to do something that was really Web 2.0-ish.
Yeah, it really is. And are you all parents?
Most of us, yes.
Yeah, we are now. When we did our first startup, none of us were married, and none of us had kids.
And now y'all do, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. These days with three kids, especially my three kids, staying in a hotel just isn't quite the right solution
for
us. Well,
I was going to say, and that's one of the reasons we thought it'd be fun to have you on. It really has it's the kind of thing a family really wants to do, and this is a well set up for that. So most of these places are kid-friendly?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So is there any way for people, once they stay in a place, to review it or to let people know that, it is a great place for families?
Absolutely. This is one of the features that you don't see on the site right now. It's currently under development, but is going to be a key part of the overall website, which is to take reviews from only the registered renters who have actually stayed in the places and allow people to provide information and photos about their stay and things like that.
See, that'll be fun. When do you think you'll roll that out?
That's coming fairly quickly, so it'll probably be out in the next couple of months or so.
That's the key to Web 2.0 success, that community. I think that makes such a big difference.
Yeah, and that's great, because I've definitely stayed in places that looked way better online than
I'd love to put some reviews in some of the places. We had one where there was a sign that said, don't leave the soap out because the rats will eat it.
Oh, nice.
We checked out. That was a palapa. Now, to be perfectly honest, this was a palapa in Mexico. It was open air. It was in the jungle. They also had visits from monkeys, snakes, and various other objects.
But they didn't feature that rat sign on the website, I'm sure.
No, there were little gnaw marks in the soap. Could have been a rat. Could have been anything. A tapir, sloth. I don't know. There was a lot of wildlife. But you were up in the trees. And truthfully, it sounded really good. And we got there. But we had a one-year-old. And we weren't going to, I was worried the monkeys would carry her off. So we decided, because it was open. You're basically in the trees in this open thing, right? And the bed is hanging from the ceiling because I guess they didn't want, because the rats would run up the bedpost. So anyway, we didn't stay there.
But the same goes.
I don't think you'll find any of those properties.
But if you did see the review, it would solve that, because some people would love that. So yeah, that's absolutely what the review does,
But one of the nice things about PickPackGo is that, the vast majority, 99.9% of the properties on our site are actually professionally managed.
Right.
So there are, there's somebody at the front desk to check you in, to take, to give you a key, to deal with any problems that might come up if you ever encounter any. And, if you ever have a problem with a particular rental, there's a good likelihood that they've got something else that's suitable that they can put you in without any problem.
Now, it's that way now, but that's because they know about it, I imagine. I would guess in time that more and more people will find out about it, and you'll get a lot of private individuals too, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. So, we don't exclude rentals by owner. And one of the things that we do with our site is encourage that, in fact, because there are lots of really, really great places to stay where there's just not enough inventory of vacation rentals to support a commercial operation. But you'll have an individual who's got, just a great cabin out in the woods or, even a fishing hut on a frozen lake in the middle of winter. So we want to be able to encourage people to have those types of offerings on our site. But you know, in those cases, we definitely want people to have, you know, reviews and good experiences from individuals that we can point to.
Right, right.
So how many kids do you have, Felix?
I've got three. They're two boys and a little girl, and they're phenomenal. But they're very, very active like I am, and we need a lot of room to roam.
So do you travel a lot?
We don't travel as much as we'd like. We love to travel. And whenever we travel, we really look for vacation homes. I mean, it's just, you know, the space that you get, the privacy, the ability to sort of spread out. We also really love to cook. So having our own kitchen rather than having to eat out every meal mm-hmm. is just a huge win for us.
How about you, Karen? How many kids do you have?
I have a three-year-old and a dog.
In that
she
order.
She goes everywhere with us.
My wife got a pet for the dog. Well, we have teenagers and they're getting older, and we kind of thought it would be nice to have a dog, so, you know, somebody to make the transition for us. But then the dog got lonely, so we got a cat for the dog. This could go on for a while, so stay tuned. Well, it's been great. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I mean that's one of the reasons why we love vacation homes for our family, right. And we've stayed all over the place in the East Coast, West Coast, because you could take the whole family. You know,
right, including the dog and the cat.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, it's been great talking to you, Felix and Karen. It sounds, I have to say, I'm very impressed. What a beautiful looking site. And it sounds like you've got the right idea about how to make vacationing a little bit easier for families.
Well, we'd love to hear from you and also any of your listeners who actually take a look at the site and get your feedback about how easy it is to use it. And of course, we'd love to hear back once people have stayed at the places that are on our site.
PickPackGo.com. I love the name too. Yeah. Are you going to have go in every company that you start? Will you have the word go in it?
We've been asked that.
Why not? Nothing wrong with go.
Mm-hmm. Why not?
You could do a funeral home site, maybe like waytogo.com or, you know, I'm on the go or time to go. That's it. Timetogo.com.
I liked way to go.
Way to go. All right, gang. Hey, thank you so much.
You.
Really good to talk to you.
Thanks, Leo. Thanks, Megan.
Thanks for having us.
Take care. That is Felix and Karen. PickPackGo.com. It's early days yet. I think they'll have, when they get more listings on, I mean, there are a lot on there, but it seems like they're, you know, they're places I was looking for, there's no listing for. I'm sure when they get more on there, it's going to be really a great resource. Right. I like the idea to make it like a Travelocity or an Expedia for rentals.
Right.
Rentals,
yeah. And Felix said he wanted feedback, so he didn't provide any, I guess probably at the site.
On the site. Yeah,
but, you know, if you use it, you can email me too at megan@twit.tv and I can forward that on to him.
Because we have their address.
Right.
We know how to reach them.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Now I need to plan a vacation. I'm actually going to Texas very soon.
Are you?
Not with the kids, just with my sister.
Because you're from, your sister lives in Texas.
Yeah, she lives in Dallas. So I'm going to go see her and then we're going to spend the weekend in Austin.
Oh, I love
just
Austin.
Just the two of us.
Really?
Just
girls? Just girls?
Weekend. Mm-hmm.
Have you done that in a while?
No. Not with her, not since, I think the last time we did it, she was pregnant with Cole, her son.
Who was like nine, right?
Yeah, he's eight.
Eight. So it's been a while.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to have so much fun.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So, but yeah, next time I plan a family vacation, I'm definitely going to check out the Pick Pack Go.
Cool.
So do you want to play some voicemails?
We have voicemails at our voicemail. We love our voicemail number. And if you call in, you might hear yourself on the podcast, 707. It's not toll free, by the way. Sorry. 707-981-4602. And if you're shy like me, don't worry. Nobody will pick up the phone.
Right.
You don't have to talk to me or Megan.
Yeah, you're so shy, Leah.
It's just a voice.
But if you are afraid of the fact that it's not toll-free, you can record your voice and send me an email with it. Yeah, email. Yeah. We've gotten those before.
What's the email?
Megan@twit.tv.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Well, we got some people who have questions for you. Do you want to do these before we do the mail or mix?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll mix them in. How
Let's mix it up. I always like to mix it up.
This is Mike from Endicott, New York.
Hey, this is Micah from Endicott, New York. Just wondering, I'm a parent of twin boys, and since Megan's a parent of twins, I wondered if she had any websites to recommend for parents of twins. Love the show. Thanks.
Is there a website for parents of twins?
You know, there are. There's a lot of sites that I've just used occasionally, you know, and you can find those just by, like, parents of multiples, like the, you know, the Parents of Multiples Club. But there's nothing that is really, like, stuck with me that
I
really...
Do you think parents of twins have different needs than parents of singletons?
And I do think discussion boards are important, because sometimes when you're on, you know, a discussion board, when you're just dealing with parents of singletons, it's, you know, oh, my kid's not taking a nap. We'll do this and do this and do this.
None like, of
you
that
don't
applies.
Understand that, yeah, they right. share a room and right. they're, you know, or, right. or, you know, like if you have problems with nursing, if you're nursing two kids at one time, that's what I find.
Different problem.
Is different. Yeah. So I think, you know, most places like that we've talked about before, like Mother's Click or Cafe Mom, they have like a twins group. So I could check out all those. And also Parent Hacks, which is a great site that we have talked about. And we're going to talk to Asha Dornfest, who started Parent Hacks. They have a little link, Tips for Parents of Twins, that I'll put that link in the
cool.
show notes.
Excellent.
But yeah, what I found is most of the time, if just a site that you like for singletons, and I guess maybe that's my unique thing because I had a lot of websites that I already knew.
You
for
started
a,
with
yeah,
this,
yeah,
a single,
I started
singleton
one.
Parent.
But this was also recommended a while back by a listener, Sydney. She recommended the Twin Shock forums, and that's twinshock.net/forums. And that is all for twin moms, and they have like tons of postings. It's a really popular forum, so I really recommend those two places.
All right. Speaking of twins, here's a caller from Pikesville, Maryland.
Hi, Megan and Leo. A couple of shows ago, you and Kat were talking about a new gadget that lets the other parent know when the baby was fed last. I wanted to let you know about my parents' solution over 40 years ago with their twins, me and my sister. They put paper plates that they put clocks on top of each crib. And on each paper plate on top of the crib, they would change the time depending on the last time that baby was fed. So that way they know if my sister and I were fed or we were just crying because we were hungry. Okay, gadgets just make you do things easier. Bye.
I don't know. I think paper plates is a pretty good idea. That's clever.
Yeah,
that's
that is clever. Really cute. Yeah. 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 Because, you know, it's like we have all these gadgets and stuff now. Like, do you remember that? It was the It's Been that Kat recommended. Like,
it's
oh,
been.
It's been 5 minutes since right. they've been, you know. But, like, right. before the gadgets, we figured it out, didn't
There's
we?
A thing called a pencil and a paper.
Right.
My wife says that a lot.
Or, yeah, she does.
We used to have races where she'd say, okay, when's the movie start? And I'd look it up on the internet, and she'd look it up in a newspaper, and I never won.
Really?
Never won those races. I might now, though.
Yeah.
That was a while ago.
Right.
I'm a little faster now on the draw. Mm-hmm. You got an email?
I do. This is Brad from Alabaster, Alabama. Did we already hear from Brad? I feel like we might have heard from him last week. But he says, after reading an extremely long, writing an extremely long email earlier today about Leo and his political beef, beliefs on the Best Parent podcast. He had some issues with our interview that we had with Joan Blades. And I understand that a lot of people had issues and they emailed us. And I think, you know, I just wanted to bring this up because we really, I think, you know, we didn't really give a voice to the other side on that. And I don't think
we were offensive, though.
No, we weren't. I wasn't offended, but I think, you know, and I responded to all the people that emailed. So if you're feeling, you know, like
sometimes people, it's funny, don't like to hear political beliefs that don't agree with them, and they find that offensive.
Right.
They're just political beliefs that don't agree with you.
Right.
Yours. So
exactly.
I think, in fact, that this nation relies on hearing political beliefs right. you may not agree with.
Right. But now what he says, he says, I now find myself once again completely in agreement with Leo. So you won him over with your
this
feelings
is again
about his,
on this on the learner's permit issue.
Yeah, the daughter driving. Leo's reasoning as to showing his daughter how to drive prior to getting a license is spot on. It is showing them right up front that as long as you're not hurting anyone, it's okay to bend or ignore minor laws like that.
Uh-huh.
So that was
yes,
yeah.
that's
so,
the mistake right there.
Right. So the same is true for speeding, although I cannot say I'm a good example of that one. And underage drinking, it won't hurt to let her wait until she actually has a permit.
This actually is a larger issue for parents in general. You know, you want to be a good moral role model, but you know what? Most of us are not perfect. You know, we might speed a little bit. I mean, what adult hasn't sped with a kid in a car?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's only 6 miles over the speed limit. Well,
right.
it's over the speed limit. You know, so I think it's hard. Or, you know, downloading music's another big one. And in the past, I might have downloaded a few songs from the internet, but I feel like I can't, you know, with kids, it's more important for me to play, to be a good role model. So
right.
I tell them, don't do that. Here's an allowance for iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
And I've kind of, you know, have to truncate some of my behavior. None of us is perfect, I guess.
No, that's true. And if you try to claim that you're perfect to your kids, I don't think that's helpful either.
Well, that's another one. Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. So
that,
I make mistakes, but in general, we want to stick to the rules.
Right. So that's all I have from the mail.
Well, I have lots more.
Okay. I want to hear some more.
You want to hear some more?
Yeah,
we got lots
some more
of calls.
Voicemails.
This is
Keep calling us.
Mike in Tacoma.
Hey, Leo and Megan. This is Mike from Tacoma, Washington. Hey, I just want to let you know, really like your podcast. And I just have one question. How would you suggest, I love listening to it, but I want to get my wife to listen to it, and she's like, she doesn't want to listen to it. I've tried to get her to, but, you know, it's like, no, it's a tech podcast, but it's not a tech podcast. How do you, what do you do to get your wife to listen to it? I was just curious. Maybe you can use it. Maybe you have an idea. I don't know.
Does Mark listen? Mark
think it's a good podcast for everybody, all parents to listen to. So keep up the good work. Love the show.
Thanks,
bye.
Mike. Does Marco, your husband, listen?
Occasionally.
Jennifer
but
does not listen.
Yeah.
So we're the wrong people to ask.
Right. Well, Marco doesn't have an iPod because I stole his. And
after you washed yours.
Right. But he doesn't really listen to podcasts. So, I mean, but that's the same problem that, you know, that he's having. His wife doesn't really listen to podcasts.
It's a bigger problem in general because I wish more people listened to podcasts, but a surprisingly large number of people never even heard of the idea. They don't know.
Well, I would suggest, I mean, I find it really useful to listen while I'm cleaning up toys, which you're constantly doing. I mean, Think about if, you know, if you have an iPod. If she doesn't have an iPod, I would say that's your first step to get
an
iPod.
Give her a portable
and they're
player.
Cheaper now. And so when you're the time you spend washing dishes, picking up toys, like organizing, folding laundry,
ugh,
like all of those things that you know that we spend, it's so much better when you're. I mean, because you're often doing if you're doing it when the kids are awake. I mean, you know, we can often listen to this podcast when the kids are awake if they're playing. Sometimes it's not exactly.
Just have it on in the background.
Yeah.
It's just kind of lulling. Blather.
But most people I know do all those things after the kids are in bed.
Right.
So put on your iPod or put it on, if it's not too loud and won't wake up the kids.
Beats staring off into space, which is what I do.
Right. Or, you know, carpools. We've talked about that.
Yes.
That's a great time to listen to it. And, if you're exercising on the treadmill or, I think
I don't know how you convince somebody to listen to something. I really don't. You just have to say it's funny. And you know, if you're listening, eventually she's going to be curious and say, well, what is it you're listening
right.
to? And why are you laughing when you're listening?
But I do think it's just, it's and also or at work, if she's working in an office, like you could listen to it, on your computer. You don't need an iPod.
Right. Good point.
That's the thing.
Uh-huh. Anyway, we're glad you're trying, Mike. Thank you.
Yes.
We
keep trying. Keep trying. You could
keep listening.
Incentives. I don't know.
You know, one way you could help us actually, and it's not convincing your wife to listen, but it's convincing other people to listen, is
right.
to go to iTunes and review this podcast. The reason we say so is if you go to iTunes, the iTunes store, first of all, I think this is part of the problem is that unless you will use iTunes, you may not even know about podcasts. It's about the only way people learn.
Right.
Second of all, because it's in the iTunes store, I think people think you have to pay for these.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's totally true.
It's in the store. It's not clear that it's a free, something to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Also, when you get there, there's so many of them, and it's not clear what's good and what's not good. And one of the ways, we hope to get the word out is there. If you go to the iTunes store and you click podcast, there's categories, and we're in the kids and family category. We'd like to be in that featured section. So I sent a note off, and I said, well, how do you get in that featured section? And they said, it's based on reviews. Which surprised me because we're in the top 10, I think.
Yeah.
On the top parenting podcast.
But we just haven't been around as long as others. So, those reviews don't disappear. So if you've been around for 2 years, you're going to have more
right.
reviews.
Now we have 4 stars,
mm-hmm.
but if you just go to the Jumping Monkeys page on iTunes and you have to have an iTunes account and just click write a review, anything that you have to say that's nice would be great.
Right. And we are in the parenting room, too. So if you go to the front page of iTunes and they're in the very right corner, it's kind of hidden away.
Oh, really?
There's a parenting room.
Oh.
And then there's a lot of other
great
podcasts.
Is that like the crying room they had at the movie theaters?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, and then there's a lot of other good parenting podcasts
right.
in there. So,
right.
yeah, you can definitely check out those because we're not the only parenting.
Oh, goodness, no.
No.
We're late to the game, frankly. We're, but it's just something we wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we do appreciate all your feedback. The phone number, if you would like to call and leave us a voicemail, is 707-981-4602. Or as Megan says, you can also record something and email it to megan@twit.tv. Her her blog is jumpingmonkeys.com.
Right. And if you have suggestions for guests, give me an email, megan@twit.tv. We have some exciting people coming up.
great. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Megan Maroney, and thanks to all of you for joining us. We'll see you next time on Jumping Monkeys.